Hi, everybody. Well, today is middle of the week, work week anyway, from Monday through Friday. Today's Wednesday. Just had our water charging call. So the day today is August 12th, 2015. So let's do a clearing here for people that may have had situations today, or maybe the first part of the week, or maybe just something in your life that you want to have cleared. We can release that one energy from you. Oh, here we go. Think of that one particular incident and release it. And I'll count to five to do so. One, two, three, four, and five. Okay, there we go. That should be pretty much downgraded, diluted from you here. So if you look at it now, it should just feel like, well, been there, done that. It's okay now. And let's bring up the light beams on your monitor screen. So some people have, more than three. Or they have extra monitors, so let's energize them all up for everybody. We'll bring in male energies. So here we go. Male energy is coming your way. One, two, three, four, and five. And again, one, two, three, four, and five. Okay. Well, let's bring up our co-host tonight. Michelle, are you there?
I am here, Ron. Hello, everybody. It's good to be back. I'm doing really great here, and going into the CLS questions at yahoo.com, for people who have written in, it looks like we have some really great questions tonight. So I'm going to start out with this one because it seems to be on my mind as well, so obviously it's on other people's minds. I'm just going to read it, and it's pretty interesting. It says, I want to live a free life and be completely cleared out so I can do it peacefully. However, the only way to get money is to follow a program in order to do so, which takes away your free will. Can some programs be positive, such as one for mental health? So I think, I don't know if they're asking about like what type of job would be suggested for our remaining time here.
Well, all programs, unless you're in the now, would be from darkness. So, and, you know, they do give out programs that might be good, but then they're connected to you, and you don't know what's going to happen, you know, in the future with the program, how it's being controlled. But, you know, typically you want to use your own free will, free choice, and there's no programs in that. So I don't know how else to answer that question. If you're running timelines and you're not in the now, then you are on programs. And are there good programs on timelines? Well, I would guess so. But there's probably a lot of negative ones, too. So, you know, it's probably much, much more. Kind of hard to answer that, you know, as a finite question. Programs are programs, and you don't really want to get hooked up to a timeline, which would be programs. If you get the, you know, we'll just say that you're dealing with, let's say that you're a clerk at a store, right, and you're cashing people out, or checking people out, resting. Cashing them out means they have cash. Checking people out means that probably they give you a check. What if they got card, out, you know, credit card out, right? So aside from that, if the person deals with maybe, a busy person, could see maybe 500 people a day. But just by connecting with them, to be looking at them, connecting to the objects that they purchased, which may have programs kind of connected to them, never know, you could probably be hooked up to a lot of timelines. So just think, if you see somebody and you engage with them, they could possibly, not always, it possibly puts you on their timeline. So the next question would be, well, yeah, I'm on the telephone with people, but I don't see them. Can I be on their timeline when they call me? Well, it could be the same thing as a checker at a store seeing somebody physically. Are you on that timeline with them? So that's why you want to do timeline crashing. So you're more at peace and you're not dealing with situations. So I guess Well, to turn it over to you, Michelle. Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, I do go over this thought process quite a bit. I try not to, but it is hard to avoid because we're living on this planet and we all need to find something to do. But how about if somebody were to make or create, like you say, when we're creative, aren't we having our spirit in our body? And so that could be maybe there's so many jobs a person could do. There's art, or there's a lot of jobs that people find pleasure in, and they are rather creative, even though they might be a job. You might also be making money. It's so hard to say. In the end, you kind of have to just do what you're good at, but try and stay off of those timelines. So if you're writing in something in the timeline box, can you just write parallel life? And will it just crash your parallel life?
No, you have to put down an incident. You have to put down an incident that you're dealing with. You know, a hurt headache, I'm afraid of red ants or something. Maybe you got bit by one, so you're on that timeline. I have an infection. So all those are timeline scenarios. So you want to get off those timelines. And you're only
okay.
Not going to happen to you physically here.
So it's physical and also the emotional timelines, right?
Yeah. All the timelines will probably put you mainly into emotional stuff. There are timelines that could have pain on it, and maybe the pain could also go into other timelines that are emotional. You know, you could be having a lot of pain, and all of a sudden, you know, you may realize that you did something not too smart to cause your pain. So now you're on an emotional timeline, feeling stupid, picking up a hot pan, you know, without having a mitten on or something, you know. Maybe you're opening up your oven, you don't have a mitten on, you lost consciousness because it just abducted you and brought you back, and got the door partly open, and you don't have all your senses, and you want to pull the pan out of the oven, and it's, 400 degrees, and you don't really, it doesn't look like it's hot. You might feel the heat from you, but you may not associate that metal pan being 400 degrees or something. And after you burn your finger, now you go, man, this really hurts. Boy, am I stupid for doing that. I should have known better. So now you're on two timelines that are connected together. Oh, and maybe there could be three. Maybe you had that mitten on, but there's a hole in it. You knew about the hole, so now you're really upset because now it's the mitten's fault. So now they put you on the bad mitten timeline. They can do all this stuff to get energy off of you. So if you had that scenario where maybe you had the mitten with the hole in it, and a year later somebody finds it, right? You put it in your closet or something. And now somebody finds it, and they go, hey, this mitten here, it looks like it has a hole in it. And all of a sudden, that brings back you now a year ago in your past, and now you're re-experiencing that because you saw that mitten, and now you're living that day all over again. I'm sure everybody can relate to that. Oh, back to you.
Yes, I just noticed, I know a lot of timelines that people go on are, and if they are parallel lives, it shows up a lot of times in dreams as well. What if you can't really remember the dream? What incident would you say? Would you give the date of the day that you had that dream? Would you put that in the timeline?
Yeah, if you have the date of it, yeah. That would be good. Sometimes you're not really aware of the dreams. So the dreams are just an indication that it's getting really close to your energy here. It's probably a really strong dream, so it's a breakthrough when you're actually catching it. So remember, you're living probably your whole life over again each day on timelines if you're on that many timelines. So that's what they pick from. They probably choose the worst timeline, or well, I won't say the worst. It'd be the best one for them. but it would be your worst scenario, that, you know, something that happened to you. That's what they're going to be focusing on, and they can just change it around a little bit, put different players in it, maybe something slightly different as the outcome. But the bottom line for you is that, yep, you're on that timeline, and maybe there's pain involved there. Oh, back to you, Michelle.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds not good, but it's good to find some solutions. So just making notes to myself sometimes. So the next email we have is, somebody must have run into a situation where they noticed something about somebody else and was wondering, you know, curious about what was going on there. It says, "Hi, Ron, what is it when a person has no compassion for others? Did they not learn compassion, or can they not feel themselves?"
Boy, it could be many things. So that could go all different directions. That'd be
a
hard one.
Is that clone energy?
Yeah, they may just be insensitive. Maybe they could be probably cloned out when you saw them, you know? So it could be many, many things. You know, ideally, passion would be an emotion. So you probably want to be more neutral. Maybe you can be too compassionate. That would be like the person who sees people who are asking for money on the street, you know, because they may need a meal, but they may, you know, they could be making $200 a day by begging off people, making more money than you. And so you don't know that. You just see them and go, "Oh, man, I'm really compassionate for this person. They look like they're homeless. They have no money, you know, and I'll give them, you know, $10 because they can eat on it." And, you know, I remember seeing a lady in New York, at Penn Station. She was outside on the street, and she had this really large overcoat on, and it was kind of cold. It's probably, you know, in the first part of the year. I think Mark has his expos. I'm just guessing. I think it's April. So she was there, and, you know, she had her perfect spot, and I'm kind of watching her because it was kind of cold, so I went inside of Penn Station, and that's where the elevators are, and I was watching her out of a glass door, luckily, so I had a door there. And I'm kind of watching her, and, you know, she, you know, this is maybe for 20 minutes, okay? So I'm watching her, and she opens her coat up, and she takes all the money that she had in her pocket that she got from people, which looked like a fistful of money. And so one side was coins, one side was dollar bills or maybe more. And I see her taking her handful of these things, so I would say maybe it's 20 bills, and she stuffs it inside of her coat on the inside. She has an inside pocket, and that thing's bulging out. And this is probably about maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then she closes it up and, you know, shakes her little can, you know. And so, you know, anyway, so is being too compassionate then a bad thing? You know, maybe you're giving all your money away. Maybe you're really hungry and you see somebody who you think they need the money to eat with. And you know, is that going to be harmful to you? So, you know, there's limitations and extremes to what's going on. Anyway, back to you.
Right. It's probably more important to take care of ourselves at this time. Okay.
Yeah, and
so
and
we
one,
have...
No, and one question is, have you found, you know, you saw somebody walking down the street and they dropped some money out of maybe their pocket, okay? How many people out there would, maybe it's a $20 bill, would they actually grab the $20 bill and return it to the person? You know, it's hard to say. People might think, well, the gods are blessing me today, you know? I got $20. Or, you know, is that person going to return it to the other person? So that's another thing of compassion, I guess. You have to look at how you look at things, and there's really no right answer to that. But because it could be probably argued both, you know, any different ways or directions. But, you know, it's compassion is a thing that is an interesting thing. Do you need to learn compassion, or does the other person need to know about compassion? Is no compassion good? Well, maybe the person relates differently. So back to you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we have another one, another question here. It says, a little situation that occurred. It said, I felt negative and did the mind to heart drop. It didn't seem to help. Then I did the demand that I stay on the CLS timeline. I felt very peaceful. And so the question is, would the alien blood clearing be the nano detox clearing? I'm not sure. I believe that there is the nano detox clearing, and the alien blood clearing, doesn't that come under the slime body clearing?
Yeah, that's like a barcode too, I believe. So it's different clearings. The nano one is how they are connecting to you through your breathing. So that's the nano clearing. So you're breathing air, and the air that you're breathing is contaminated. So that's one type of clearing. The other one is a barcode that they put on you. That's completely different. Oh, back to you.
So the blood clearing. Yes, that is a barcode clearing, alien blood clearing. That's a barcode one. But under slime body, I believe there's also a clearing for the blood. Like there's a clearing for the chakras, there's a clearing for the heart, the lungs, and I think the blood is the fourth one.
Okay.
So that would be four different, a couple different ways a person could clear their blood. Okay. Is there any sample healings that we could do right now, Ron?
I can do one. Let's see. We haven't done this for a while. Let's do one for pets and animals that are deceased. So this is a little different, but here we go. So one, releasing this energy. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and ten. And one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and ten. And one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and ten. Okay, there we go. Back to you, Michelle.
Great. Thank you, Ron. It's always good to have an animal clearing. I really like animals, so it's nice to have. Okay, so we have another question that says, how can aliens steal our energy from us if we're only a tiny speck on a timeline?
Well, that's what they do. I can't say how or why, but that's what they do. We just need a little speck of you. So, anyway.
A little piece of our spirit.
Yep.
I was wondering today, actually, about this type of thing. If, when they are getting energy from us, is it just any time, or is it during that 10-minute changeover when we're being cloned out?
It's all the time. Yeah. Probably not getting anything when you get switched out instantly, but they're getting stuff off of you, yes. Uh-huh. All the time.
Oh, so it's always really good to do the mind heart drop and just be neutral. Right. Okay. Okay, so another person was also wondering about dreams. It says, I was wondering about dreams. If a person dreams of people they don't know, could those people they're dreaming about be deceased people?
Yeah, and it could be somebody that's body hopping from your soul family. And so they could be coming into your awareness that way. Oh, the plot thickens.
The plot thickens. So just people that you are in contact with, or they're in your soul family, and they know them, maybe not necessarily deceased, they're coming into your life?
Yeah, they can body hop through people. So that's the ins and outs of that one. Fortunately, that's what they can do. So you could have somebody in your soul family, and that person could be your neighbor, we'll say, right? And so you're visiting your neighbor, and the person likes you because maybe you hung out with them, you know, 1,000 years ago. And all of a sudden, they want to come into your body, and now you have dreams about them. Or maybe, for instance, your neighbor somehow is having a special event, and maybe they get maybe a champagne bottle or something out, right? And they want to, you know, have this celebration. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe... you know, something's going on with having that, and all the entities come in because they want to party with champagne, and now that entity that's in that person wants to also, you know, have that. All of a sudden, they come into you because they remember having this party with you. So that's kind of how they body hop. Really no rhyme or reason. But they have to normally identify with something in you that they like or that you're doing. So well, that's the how they kind of come in to get your energy. Back to you.
Yes, and I'm sure a party is always a good, memorable situation. And there seems to be a lot of parties. There's always a celebration happening or an event, an anniversary, a date, whatever, and people like to party. So yes, I can see that being a situation that actually happens quite a bit. Yes, and as far as the entity clearing, if we just leave on the entity clearing in the situational box, and we don't necessarily know which entities or which situations we're going to encounter because we're leaving the window up for a long period of time, could we just write any so that any entities that come through us are immediately put to the light?
Normally you got to figure out what it is. You know, you could probably try that, but make it more effective, you want to figure out what you're doing. You know, how they could come into you. So let's just say that you're out having your s'mores, you know, on a little get-together, and you're maybe out on a beach or camping someplace, and you're doing the s'more thing. Well, and you have to light a fire, right, to be able to roast the marshmallows. So all of a sudden, you know, you get out your matches and you prepare your fire. So all of a sudden, you're going to be having, probably from the campground that you're in, all these entities coming around who are, you know, who like fire, you know. So maybe they did some bad things for fire. Maybe they, oh man, you know, this is a great opportunity to make a like a forest fire here, you know, or to catch something on fire. They come into you and you're doing something that maybe you wouldn't do. And all of a sudden you catch things on fire. And the entity goes, wow, this is great. I'm having my wonderful experience. They took over your consciousness. That's kind of the way entities work. And it could be other type of alien stuff, too, doing that. But basically, you have an emotional body of an entity coming into you, making you do something. You know? And maybe for some reason, you know, you had planned to light some paper, you know, to get the fire going. But all of a sudden, you had this great idea of siphoning some gas out of your car, right? So now you got 2 gallons of gas, and you're going to put it on the fire or something, and, you know, it causes a big problem, which you normally wouldn't do, but the entity liked playing with fire and especially liked gasoline to be lit on fire. So that's kind of the story that people say, you know, I didn't really do that. You know, I couldn't have done that. Well, spirit didn't do it. Something else took them over. They got possessed. And then that process is what happened, and now their body's accountable for the actions that it did. Something else did it and left. They are now playing with somebody else, having a great time. That's kind of what happened. Back to you, Michelle.
Yes, I bet a lot of people that are suffering in court or in prisons have had situations such as that occur where they're like, wow, I have no idea why I did that. Little do they know, it probably was an entity that went in them and saw an opportunity, and now the body is suffering with the consequences of those actions. Okay, so it looks like one of our listeners sent in a video from YouTube, which I have not had the opportunity to completely watch yet, and I'm going to forward it to you, Ron, so you can watch it. But I'll just read some of the stuff that they wrote around the email. It says that they have attached a link, and in the video, it talks about NASA and talking about the end of the world. And that this person has seen it. They say it's very interesting. And then they're suggesting to please forward it to Ron, which I will do, and wondering if there's anything that can be done about it, although I know that, Ron, that you are already doing many things, because I'm sure this is just on a particular timeline. But, and then it also says, you never know until he learns about this stuff, meaning you, that if you can decide to what degree something needs to be done about it. So it's good for you to watch. And then it says, this person is feeling some fear about the times that we are living in now and is wondering if the longer ascension and the postponement of the ascension, because it was going to happen a few years ago, is they're wondering if it's making it harder for us to stay here and survive while keeping our spirit in our body, because it is so difficult to survive, and we're constantly in a struggle to keep our spirit in our body waiting for this to happen. So they say no matter how hard they try to stay in their heart and in the present moment, if they're being exposed to this type of thing physically and every day, it does put us in danger. So they wonder if, let me see, it says, I wonder sometimes if we are still going to be alive by the time the creation ship decides to do the ascension. I don't know. Maybe, can we have a sample of the fear clearing, Ron?
Sure. Fear clearing. Here we go. So one, two, three, four, and five. And again, one, two, three, four, and five. And one, two, three, four, and five. There we go. Just remember, everything is on a timeline. So, you know, anything could be created on a timeline. And that's the problem that we are dealing with here, is that you're probably seeing, well, everything seems to be real, you know? And on that timeline, it is so. So is it difficult? Well, since you don't know about being in the now, it could be very difficult for you. And once you get into the now, then none of that stuff bothers you, you know, and doesn't really make any difference to your reality. So saying it a different way, you know, the room that you're in now is there. It looks real to you because you can move your head around and look at it. But is the room next door to you that you can't see actually there? It may not be there at all, but it will be there when you look at it. So that's the hologram. So you're living in these holograms, and naturally there can be holograms that are very bad for people, you know, atrocities and things, you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, you know, everything from A to Z could be happening. But is it on their timeline because they, you know, maybe are chosen, possibly, you know, or abducted to that location? Well, so it's hard to say, but is it affecting you? Well, maybe not. But it will affect the people that are living there. And are they just living a hologram? And they do suffer. Is it affecting you? It'll only affect you when you connect to it. So, kind of, it's really difficult to talk about this because all of a sudden you go, wow, that's, you're not very being very compassionate. This person over here isn't eating, and, you know, they got this awful situation going on maybe in their town or country or something, and, you know, they got famine and they're not eating right, and, well, yeah, you know, what do you do? Well, you only thing you can do is affect yourself. And by changing yourself, by being in the now, you may bring somebody else into the now. And if everybody came into the now and did the mind to heart drop, maybe all this stuff would go away. So that's kind of how I see it. So I don't really tie into a lot of external stuff because it's not worth doing. Anything to add to that, Michelle?
Well, not exactly. I'm not really sure, Ron. I know it's something to think about. All I can say is that I know you suggest very few clearings that everyone should do, and one of them is the emotional, another one is mental, and then another one is fear. And I know I went through a lot of my life like, oh, I'm not afraid of anything. You know, what am I afraid of, right? And then I just took your advice and I just did it. I ran the whole like fear clearing because you can think about all these things. Yes, somewhere maybe they are happening. And the more you think about them, you can actually make them happen because we are creators. And but you don't want to make that happen. So if you take away the fear and just do that fear clearing, then it's not, then you're not creating it. You're not thinking about it. You're not feeling it. You're not afraid of it anymore. And you're not creating it. And then if you just did your spirit barcode removal, it honestly wouldn't matter. Because if our bodies died, well, then our spirits would be able to go somewhere else, to another planet of light or possibly another place, but somehow get out of this cycle of reincarnation, possibly be just put back on the creation light ship and into quarantine until the ascension happens. So, yeah, it's hard to say if I even want to go down the timeline of looking at this actual video because I know it can be hard to watch and it can be scary. So, I don't know. I did forward it to you, Ron. So if you choose to watch it, you are perfectly welcome to. I might do my fear clearing again before I make that decision. So, and if anyone is interested in this video, you can send me an email and I will forward it back to you. But yeah, I think it's good to take Ron's advice. And if he says the emotional, mental body and the fear clearing, they're really basic clearings to do, and you'll probably be surprised that even if you think you don't have a fear, you probably have something, you know, a memory, a past life, who knows what's going on. Everybody has something. But I was reading another email. This is a little bit of a testimonial. It says here, I have used the dark side practitioner clearing, the curses, hexes, and spells clearing, and now most recently, the energetic people courting clearing to dissolve connections with people I had been deeply involved with. These clearings are extremely potent. The more of me gets freed up by doing them, the more clarity I have about what I need to do to free myself even more. I highly recommend all of these clearings as well as the Tuesday courting disconnection call. So I'll repeat what those were again. It was the dark side practitioner, the curses, hexes, and spells clearing, and then the energetic people courting. And that's they're saying that's a good way to clear themselves, and also the Tuesday courting calls from people that may have been in their soul family or hanging on to them in some manner. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, a lot of people are very creative and what they do, and they figure out ways to work the website and they have good success. So yeah, it's a fear. Everybody needs a fear clearing. And that's the, one of the main clearings that everybody should probably have, besides the emotional and the mental, a lifetime one. So just because people get put into fear, you know, see something happening and you're in fear of it. So yeah, you do want to do these clearings so that you're able to help yourself. Remember, you don't want to get put on timeline. Aliens will see you in fear and they have you pegged. And naturally, they're going to be, you know, using your fear to take energy off of you. So that's what we talk about all the time. Why do you want to get rid of something? Get more spirit energy. So why not get rid of your stuff so you have more spirit? Go back to you. Maybe your spirit's probably outside of you waiting to come in, but your actions and the way you are maybe living your life or something, or maybe you're in fear or something, then, you know, anxiety, you know, there's all different types of emotions. So, you know, it's everybody has something.
Okay.
That's kind of what happens. So you want to get rid of that stuff so you could be more in peace energy. And you can choose live peace and be peaceful. You have to be out of the top of the timeline to do so. Back to you, Michelle.
Yeah, I just think that the just having been on this planet, even if it was just this one lifetime that we are having now, there is enough fear energy in the mental, like whatever's up in the air, there's just enough of that that any person, it doesn't even depend upon your intelligence level or anything, they just pick up on that. So if you did your fear clearing in general for your personal life, then it wouldn't affect you as much. And then, yeah, the aliens would have nothing to go, oh, man, we need to bring more of something in your life. So then probably the only energy that they could get off of you would be good experiences because you wouldn't have any fear, you wouldn't have any mental, you wouldn't have any emotional problems, and then you'd have good experiences. As, you know, apparently they get the same amount of energy off of good experiences, but at least that's easier to live with. So, somebody was saying in one of the versions of the Monsters, Inc. movies, I think it was the second one, I don't believe that I have seen it, but they said that the monsters finally discovered that they could get tons of energy off of putting the people in fear, but they could get even more energy off of putting the people in happiness or extreme excitement. So apparently they're getting, you know, just as much energy, non-dependent on the emotion. It's just the amount of emotion. So, okay. So with that, let's see here. That has to do with this next question a little bit about how do you make yourself have like a better experience? It says, what if a person's clone is affluent on another timeline? And what clearing would a person do to bring that success back to this person in the here and now? A clone clearing or which one?
Yeah, that's a good question. So
in a parallel life.
Yeah, you know, you could have lots of money somewhere else and not have it here. So, you know, what does that mean to you, you know? And how do you bring it to you? Well, maybe you can't, but you may have that consciousness. You know, it's hard to say what, you know, how to relate to that, you know? But you could be rich somewhere else, and maybe the bleed-through is coming here, and the dark side goes, well, this person thinks they're rich, and we'll just have them give their money away to people. Their compassion. That could be a scenario, too, that, Go ahead.
How about if they're watching you watch your dream, and you're going, oh, man, in my other lifetime, I'm a millionaire, and I would sure love to be a millionaire, and I'm feeling so bad that I'm not a millionaire. And so they're thinking, oh, we're getting lots of energy off of this person wanting to be a millionaire. I know on your website that you have a clearing called Wanting Desire, wanting / desiring. Would that clear that away?
Yeah, very possibly it could.
Yeah, so that you, so that you weren't desiring it, and then you could crash your parallel lifetime in either the timeline crashes or the parallel lifetime crashes, which is there's four separate ones: parallel lifetimes on cloned planets, parallel lifetimes on cloned Earth. And then I just discovered recently that in the location clearing, one of the choices is parallel life clearing in the location clearing, the one that goes by the month. So you could choose a room. Yeah, you could choose, you know, your bedroom where you're sleeping, where you're having your dreams, and write that in the location clearing, my bedroom, and then choose the parallel life clearing. Would that clear away your dreams?
Might help, yeah. You know, a lot of people, when I first put up the clone planet one, cloned Earths, parallel lives, etc., a lot of people did that and their dream stopped. So you might want to give that a try even. That's I think it's a parallel life, clone planets, cloned Earth, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's four different
those,
ones.
Yeah, any of those could help you.
Okay, I think this is a little different note, a little different question here. It says, as you may have heard on Monday, in response to someone's question, Ron suggested running the psychic billboard for I am strictly in the now. I emit no energy and present no thought forms for engagement. I have been running this since, removing I am a target for the dark, and it is awesome, precisely what I was looking for. I will run it a bit longer and collect some more evidence and then write into the show about this. So I'm going to repeat those in case anyone wants to write this down. So I believe on Monday what was discussed was that you write in the psychic billboard, I am strictly in the now, and also I emit no energy and present no thought forms for engagement. Okay, and then this person who wrote in also adds that they have also written in, I am a target for the dark. So they removed, I am a target for the dark. And if anyone wants, well, didn't have time to write that down, or maybe I spoke too fast, or they don't have a pencil and a paper handy, if you send me an email, I will send you this email back, or I will copy and paste just those little parts so that you can put that in your psychic billboard.
Very good.
So that is interesting. To write in removing, I am a target for the dark in your psychic billboard.
Very good.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of times people feel, and I'm sure I've probably felt this way, wow, I keep attracting this. How can I stop attracting it? So, of course, you would do that in your psychic billboard.
Yep.
Yeah. Is there any sample clearing we can do about that, Ron?
Well, let's see. I could do something maybe like beating yourself up. I don't know what I'd have for a clearing, you know. But that could possibly be on the self-empowerment. So I'll do that part. So if you believe or think that you're beating yourself up about something, you're not good enough or whatever, here we go. So releasing the energies, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Think of an issue you may have, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And 1, 2, 3, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and 10. Okay, just see how that kind of feels for you.
Okay. Yeah, I thought of a good one to help everyone else there, too. Okay. My computer's just a tad slow, and it's taking its time going to the next email. Let's see if I can go back a little bit. So, Ron, earlier, can I just ask, why did you choose healing for animals? Was there something that you were thinking of that occurred?
Oh, just I've popped in. Maybe somebody had an issue, and maybe I connected to that issue. I don't know. It just felt like the thing to do.
Yeah, I have actually had that issue recently, but I thought I was kind of not thinking about it, but I could have been. So, okay, so we have a question that just came in. It says, can we have the 12 source energy sometime soon?
Well, I don't have the time of this show. Friday's paranormal, boy. We could try it on Friday, possibly. I probably would want to hold each energy for a couple of minutes, so that would mean, you know, we got some time there. Yeah, maybe we could try it on Friday.
Okay. All right, I'm going to leave this question in here, so hopefully we'll go over
it
again on
maybe
Friday.
Maybe even on Saturday, because Saturday we go to the light ship, so, you know, that could work. We need probably, you know, basically, you know, a half an hour of a block of time, so that could work then, too.
Okay.
So, I don't know what day to do it on, so.
Okay, well, I'll leave it in here and let the host decide.
Oh, sounds good.
All right, we have a question here about after our death. Okay, it says, hello, Ron, they say that when you die, you should not go into the light because it is an alien trap to keep a soul reincarnating. Where should a person's soul go after they die?
Oh, well, you won't have a choice. when you're not in a body to command the energy, you have no choice at all. So your spirit doesn't know, you know, the difference there, unfortunately. So that's why you want to do, you know, your spirit clearing. Spirit barcode, get that off of you. You want to do your spirit barcode clearing so that when you finally do leave, then your spirit will go to source energy. But you have no control over anything when you're not in your body. Remember, what you have here is your spoken word. Spoken word can command your spirit when you're alive, okay? Somebody else might be able to command your spirit not to go to the light, but, you know, it's going to be probably abducted in another timeline and go to the light. Remember, you're on timelines. So your only thing you can do, your saving grace, is to do that spirit barcode. Or somebody else could do the deceased loved ones one for your spirit, and that could help you, but you know, you got to catch your spirit, you know, within probably about a couple weeks. And, you know, I can't guarantee that. But normally the spirit sticks around a while just to see things. And, you know, they could change, you know, that parameter too and only make it, you know, 1 hour or something. And then bring in a clone spirit. We'll think that the clone spirit's here. So, anyway, back to you.
Yeah, so if we have the spirit barcode and we've done it, and that's something that aliens could possibly re-put on you every now and then, how often would you suggest that we rerun that one?
Well, your spirit barcode, once you do it one time, whatever they put on you is not going to stick. You're already connected to source energy, so there's no way they can take you. They can give you other barcodes on different things, but I don't think they can do anything on your spirit at that point.
Really?
Yep. They can do like a death barcode on you, you know, and they can do that when they choose to, but the spirit one, that's a one-time clearing typically.
Oh, that is good to know. So we can just do it once, and so it's not necessarily removing something that they put there or they can see. It's making it so that the creation light ship can see us.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Oh, this is so good. I think I was running it every now and then, even though sometimes I would forget. I was like, oh, I better do that just in case.
It's okay. It won't hurt anything. No.
Okay.
You know, but, you don't really need to do it. But if you feel better emotionally, then, you know, your sanity going there, you know, you can do it.
Oh, good. Okay, that's great. Okay, so somebody else is wondering how they can prevent psychic attacks.
Not see people. And eliminate your past.
Okay.
Because remember, they're going to, the only reason why you get psychic attacks is because somebody, you know, connects with you, looks at you, you know, judges you, and then they can do an attack on you. So, you know, let's just say that you're in a homeless shelter, right? And the people there, because the funding isn't very high, the people there are only eating, you know, diluted soup, right? And maybe there's 100 people there, and they're all fine because they're all getting the same thing. And so you walk in as a volunteer, and you have, you know, one of those fast food, you know, hamburgers or something, right, or whatever. And now they're jealous of you because you have this hamburger, and they would like to have it in place of that soup that they were given, okay? So probably everybody in there who knew what that hamburger tasted like from their past, right, are going to be judging you and may not like you for bringing it in there. And so right away you get psychically attacked by all these people. Now, if you brought everybody one of those hamburgers, then they can still psychically attack you because they're liking you so much, okay? So they can be putting out an energy to you that you're a wonderful person, you know? And that's still going to be an energy on emotions that's going to be stuck on you in your backpack because that energy of maybe using the word love energy, you were being, say, what you thought was loving to these people, and they see it as that, they're going to be giving you a psychic attack with the energy of how helpful you are to them. So remember, all the energy that they send you, the mental energy always has an emotional component to it because the emotions are what started it. So that's like the emotions are riding on top of the mental carrier wave of stuff. So it's much like, you know, your radio, in a sense, you know, have a frequency that you dial into when you change your channels, we'll say, or your TV. If nothing's on the TV, just a white screen, well, it's still transmitting something maybe, but there's no information there. But the information now that comes through will attach to you emotionally. That's the way it works. So, you know, we say, you know, good energy, we'll say, or a positive thing, that would be very positive for all the people there. And maybe even yourself, you might feel great about doing it, but you're going to get corded with your emotions. So along with you giving them a hamburger, you're going to be having all the times they never had it or wanted it. And everything else, next meal they get, okay, they'll think of you bringing them a hamburger, and they're eating the soup, okay, diluted soup, and they have a whammy from that, because they're wondering where you are. You know, one time, maybe you walk in the second time, you don't have it. Maybe you can't afford $100 to buy all the hamburgers. So you walk in the door, and they're expecting you to give it to them. Now they're frowning at you, you know, thinking that, wow, this guy not delivering, or gal's not delivering to me, you know? So now you got a backlash. That's the way it works. You got a couple minutes to go on the show here. You want anything we can close with before I do the mind to heart drop?
Yeah, just this one last email and then a slight announcement concerning it. It says, if we ask a question on BBS 1 or 2, are they filed separately or unified together? They are all going to the same email, and it just depends if the host is ready to read, if the host is ready to read it that day. So the only thing that is separate is the phone numbers, and I'm going to give the phone numbers in case people are not able to go online, or if they want to hear the last 5 minutes, because sometimes you can hear a little bit longer if you're calling in. So for the Monday show and the Wednesday show, it's on BBS One, and that phone number is 716-748-0150. And I'll repeat that again. So on the Monday show, it's 716-748-0150. And for the Friday and Saturday show, the phone number to call in is 716-748-0144. So the last four digits, again, are 0144. And that's it, Ron.
Hey, everybody. So let's do the mind of heart drop, put you in peace. And when you're at peace, you're off a timeline. So here we go. So you're commanding your spirit out loud, and this you should be doing yourself all the time. And you command your spirit to take the thoughts inside of your head and drop them into your heart. You cannot think this exercise. Then you're in darkness. If you want to just try it once or twice by thinking it, you can see the difference on it. But I don't need to do that for you, as you may have done it yourself long enough in meditation and stuff. So you already know what that's about. You have to command your spirit out loud now. I now command my spirit, take the thoughts inside of my head, and drop them into my heart. And I count from 10 to 1 backwards 3 times. So here we go. You can feel the energy moving, the thoughts moving down like an elevator going down. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Okay, there we go, everybody. So blessings, and see you later. Thank you, everyone. Bye.